You are Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast on the Houston Rockets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to a brand new week of Locked On Rockets. I'm your host, Ben Dubose. We're chatting just a few hours after the Rockets polished off a big win, 111-102 over the Utah Jazz. Really a pretty great week for the Rockets just concluded. We said before this three-game stretch against the Thunder, the Jazz, and the Blazers, all three likely Western Conference playoff teams right in the middle of the pack, just like the Rockets. We said we'd have a good idea of where the Rockets were. Well, they finished the stretch, won two of three, and really should have won all three. Took a historic drought, not scoring at all in the final 6:26 against the Thunder, save the last second shot from Eric Gordon. Really, the Rockets were the better team for three consecutive games. The Portland game on Thursday and Utah on Saturday, neither was even particularly close in the closing minutes. So I think you have to feel very good about where the Rockets are now, 8-5 on the year, despite playing so many games on the road, despite this week against Western Conference playoff teams. A lot of growth by the Rockets. We'll start with the obvious. What a game from James Harden. 31 points, 10 assists Saturday against the Jazz, and no turnovers. For all the criticism he takes on that front, he was very secure with the ball in a half-court setting. The Jazz were able to make that game a little slower than the Rockets typically want. Average NBA game has about 96 possessions. Rockets tend to play at about 99. Jazz were able to make this a 91-possession game. So they were able to get their style. This is what the Jazz do. They are a great half-court team, especially on the defensive end, anchored by Rudy Gobert. And you just have to make your possessions count. And that's what the Rockets did. It was a great game from James in terms of his efficiency, 10-0 assist turnover ratio. Shooting the ball, 10-24. He did go 3-15 from a stretch after starting off great. So he did cool off for a little bit. But certainly he finished strong. Just, I made Dante Exum look absolutely silly on a filthy step back three with 15 seconds to go to officially put the game away. One thing I'll give James particular credit for, it's his mid-range game. He gets a lot of criticism for, well, just threes, free throws, layups, and that's all he does. Had a great stat pointed out to me by Rocket Intellect on Twitter. Last year, James shot 33% from 3 to 10 feet. This year, it's 50%. So it does look like he's worked on his floater. Saturday, it seemed like that really unlocked Utah's defense a lot of times. They weren't going to allow the open three, and you can't really get to the rim with Rudy Gobert without a high risk of your shot being blocked. So you've got to make those in-between shots, and he's doing that at a better rate this year. Other big key from Saturday's game, not just the 31 points and 10 assists from James Harden, but a career-high 20 points from Clint Capella. Now, yes, he did it on 19 shots, 10 of 19 for his 20 points, and that's a little high in terms of field goal attempts for Capella. But again, think of who is defending you. The Jazz were able to make this game slow. They were able to make this their style. And when you look at what the Jazz can throw at you defensively, you're going to have a high-volume game because your shooters are not going to get their normal shots. And, well, when they did, they weren't making them. Ryan Anderson was 1 of 5 from 3. Trevor Ariza was 1 of 4. So when that happens, when you can't get up and down the floor the way you want, you can't get the open threes, your anchors, James Harden and now Clint Capella turning into one, those guys are just going to have to take some tough shots in the half court, and you just have to trust their talent that they can make more than they miss. And with Clint, that's what he did, even shooting 19 times. Well, he made 10 of them, actually finished over Rudy Gobert on great post moves several times. Extremely encouraging game for Clint. I'm going to have a column about him at the Sports Talk 790 website tomorrow, sports790.com, so keep your eyes peeled for that. But I spoke with a lot of Rockets about him on Saturday. Reviews so positive. Mike D'Antoni said that you can see his confidence growing with every game, said that he thinks he's been playing much better over the past five games, said that he's always been there defensively, but that offensively he's starting to come around as well. I asked Pat Beverly about Clint as well, because Pat's certainly one of the leaders of the team. And Pat had some interesting comments. He echoed what D'Antoni said about his offense coming along, defense having always been there. But Beverly pointed out two things that were really intriguing to me. One, he said that, well, Capella works harder than anybody on the team, said he literally was in the weight room seconds after the Rockets-Jazz game finished on Saturday. So I know I tell you guys a lot, but Clint works so hard, and you combine that with his athletic gifts, it's really hard not seeing him become an excellent NBA player. Besides that, Pat also pointed out that even though, well, he didn't point out the 19 field goal attempts, but he said that Capella does not need the ball to be effective. And that's in great contrast to what the Rockets have had in prior seasons, when we all know there have been campaigns by Dwight to get the ball more, the post touches of appeasement, as many called them. That's not really the case with Clint. Whether he's getting the ball or not, he is still rolling hard to the basket. He's still playing hard on defense, and his teammates appreciate that. That's the kind of thing that builds chemistry. And whereas last year's team, I think some of those articles about needing to play through the post, I think it kind of fueled the discontent's too strong a word, but I would say disharmony at least. The team did not play together last season. And when you have someone like Clint Capella that's able to step up when he gets the ball, they needed more half-court production, and so he shot 19 times Saturday. But if he only shoots 5 or 6 times, he still gives you the same effort. And when you're talking about the rest of the guys, the leaders on the team, that's what they want to see. That is a big deal. So I give credit to Pat Beverly for acknowledging that. Other thing about Clint Capella that we should point out, he got his uptick in minutes. I have been talking on this show after the Oklahoma City and Portland games about the need for him to play closer to 30 minutes per game than 24 on Saturday against the Jazz. That's exactly what happened. And it was subtle, but you could see it in the first half. Mike D'Antoni adjusted his usage. He did exactly what a lot of us have been hoping he would do. He still plays Capella the first 6 or 7 minutes of the first and third quarters, but instead of bringing in Nene for 6 and basically doing half and half, you know, Capella for about 6, Nene for 6, Capella for 6, Nene for 6, just on and off every quarter, he played Nene for 9 or 10 consecutive minutes, from about 5 minutes in the first and third quarters to about 8 minutes in the second and fourth. And then he brought in Capella to close the second and fourth quarters for those final, I'd say, about 8 minutes. It can be anywhere from 7 to 9, because obviously exactly when you sub them in, it's going to vary from game to game. It's going to depend on when there's a break in action, if there's a timeout called, etc., etc. But the big picture, you are seeing Mike D'Antoni tweak his rotation to put Capella in an opportunity to close games. And that's what he did on Saturday, and the Rockets were able to score 30 points in the fourth quarter and close out the Jazz, in large part because of the contributions from Clint Capella. It's been a big point of emphasis for the Rockets. Why are they so much worse offensively in the fourth quarter than every other quarter? We saw it in Oklahoma City when they had that ridiculous drought in the final 6 minutes, and that was with Harden in the game. On Saturday against the Jazz, the Rockets scored 30 in the fourth quarter. That was their highest scoring quarter of the game. So, again, from a coaching standpoint, all you want to see is a willingness to change, a willingness to make adjustments as new evidence presents itself. And that's what Mike D'Antoni is doing. He saw the same things that we were seeing in terms of Nene not really being able to give you enough around the rim to, you know, complement the three-point shooting. Because if three-point shooting fades, well, how are you going to get shots against a tough half-court defense? Clint Capella's athleticism is the way to go. He can make shots in the pick-and-roll game when Harden feeds him. He also can use his athleticism to, get off some nice hook shots, which is what he did against Rudy Gobert on Saturday. And Mike D'Antoni saw what we were seeing, and he adjusted his rotation to take advantage. And it's one game, but so far, so good. Rockets 30 points in the fourth quarter against Utah, and Clint Capella was a big part of that. Another big thing we should point out from Saturday, the Rockets were really good in the minutes without James Harden. Yes, he had 31 and 10, and that's great. But the Rockets actually outscored the Jazz 38 to 27 in the 13 minutes of the game that Harden did not play. That actually, yeah, shows you even with Harden's great stat line, he was a -2 in the box score. And that's not his fault, of course. Basically, it was a bad game for Ryan Anderson and Trevor Ariza. They didn't hit their threes. And so that artificially held down the plus-minus numbers of those like Harden who predominantly played with them. But after the theme of the first, I don't know, 10, 11 games was just how bad the Rockets were without Harden, because we know they can compete with anybody in the minutes Harden plays. It's a matter of surviving those 12 minutes per game that he doesn't. Against Portland and Utah, we have seen some real signs. And I think the biggest thing, it's subtle, you're not seeing it in the box score, but Pat Beverley is making a big impact. Now, this is his second game back from the knee scope. He had 5 points and 6 assists in his 27 minutes, just 2 of 6 shooting. Did have a big three in the fourth quarter. But where I think Pat is really helping, he is able to anchor that second unit without Harden by being the primary ball handler. And that makes Eric Gordon so much more comfortable because he can attack. He can play off the ball. He can go around screens. Eric Gordon is not worried about bringing the ball up the floor and serving as a quasi point guard at times. He can go back to a true scorer's mindset, and that's what he did Saturday. 20 points, 7 rebounds, 6 assists in his 36 minutes, 7 of 16 from the field. And again, I know he was never a true point guard in those minutes. Tyler Ennis was playing, but Ennis was such a net negative that a lot of the time, Gordon had to be the one to bring the ball up the court and initiate the offense. Pat Beverley is established well enough that he can let Gordon concentrate 100% on the areas of his game where he excels. And so Pat Beverley, it steadies that unit, and it also has Gordon in a role where he is immensely comfortable. Another great thing about Pat Beverley, the Rockets, they closed the game, or they tried to close the game, with Harden, Gordon, Ariza, Anderson, and Capella. Now, they didn't completely close with that lineup because Ariza bumped knees with 2 minutes left. Not a big deal. I would not expect him to miss any time with that. But Pat Beverley did come back in for the last 2 minutes. But you might wonder, Beverley starts the game. Is he going to be bothered at all by not finishing? Not that I could tell. He was the most active cheerleader on the bench. He was waving the towel, pushing his teammates forward. When Ariza bumped knees, he actually went out to half court to check on Trevor. So Pat was very engaged. Anyone concerned that, you know, well, you start Beverley, but he may not finish because you want to finish with Harden and Gordon together. Pat Beverley is way too much of a team player to get concerned in individual stuff like that. Nobody wants to win more than Pat Beverley. And if the Rockets are succeeding, which they were on Saturday, he is going to be happy no matter what the minutes distribution is. By the way, one other thing I should point out with that closing lineup, it was really evident just how physically strong the Rockets are with James Harden and Eric Gordon as their backcourt. A team like Utah with Gobert in the middle, they just can physically impose their will on a lot of teams. It is tough to finish in the paint against those guys. But Eric Gordon and James Harden, those are two guards that are so strong. That gives you a lot of hope of how the Rockets can play some of these more physical teams, because there's a legit fear, or has been, about, well, what happens when someone tries to grind the Rockets? Because they like to play so fast, they like to shoot so many threes. What happens when a team like Utah is able to slow it down and make it a slugfest? And this was one of the first games you could see the Rockets throw a counterpunch. They played Clint Capella the big minutes, and he was able to hold his own with Gobert. And Harden and Gordon, even if they were not able to play at the normal tempo they could play with, they were still able to drive inside, and because of how physically strong they are, they could still make some things happen. Now, I know a lot of people might be wondering, why was it just a 9-point game if all these things went well? Well, it didn't. As I said earlier, Ryan Anderson and Trevor Ariza, they are going to shoot better than 2 of 9 from 3 most days. This was just a situation, and you also have to give the Jazz credit. They are a very good defensive team, and they're someone that I would be shocked if they don't win 45 or more games and make the playoffs, barring any sort of major injuries. And, you know, Harden's probably not going to have 0 turnovers. Clint Capella may not score 20 points a game. But again, Ryan Anderson and Trevor Ariza are not going to shoot that poorly from the field. So even if you lose a little bit from Harden and Capella's performances, you're hopefully going to gain a little bit from Ryan and Trevor, and it's going to even itself out. The key for the Rockets, to me, it's flexibility. It's options. It's what happens if you find yourself in a situation like the Oklahoma City game and you inexplicably can't hit the broadside of a barn from three. You want to see that the Rockets have a plan B. And in this game, their plan B succeeded. That's what I take out of it. I know that you're not going to play this efficiently all the time, but it's just a matter of the Rockets being able to win in multiple ways. because if you're going to win 50 plus games in the NBA, especially in the Western Conference, you can't just rely on your plan A. You've got to have multiple ways of getting it done. And this was a really encouraging game to me because it's not just that the Rockets won, but they were able to do so in a way that they really hadn't done that much in the first 12 games. By the way, last thing I'll point out, it was a great individual game from Nene as well. 6 of 9 in his 17 minutes, 16 points, 6 rebounds. That is huge off the bench. Now, I know I praised the Rockets for playing Capella more, and I do think that trend will continue. But another positive of this, you're going to keep Nene even fresher. I do think there's a point of diminishing returns with Nene at 34 years old. The more you play him, the more tired he's going to get. In this game, he looked very fresh. Of course, he had the day off on Thursday, second night of a back-to-back, so he had not played since Wednesday. But in this game, yeah, 6 of 9. He was even 1 of 1 from three. That's his second three of the year, and he's never made more than 1 3 in a season before. So again, it's not just a matter of playing Capella more minutes because, you know, he's a really good player. It's also keeping the name more fresh for those 17 to 18 minutes that he can play off the bench. So I think there's a strong case that this new rotation, assuming Mike D'Antoni sticks with it, of Clint Capella closing out each half, it can potentially help not just Capella, but Nene as well. And I think that will about do it as far as individual breakdowns. Again, I want to restate just how important this stretch was for the Rockets as a team. They are now 8-5 overall, tied for the fourth spot in the West, which I think is a fair goal for this team. I think that's where you want them to be. I don't think, barring a major trade, they're going to be at the level of the Warriors, Clippers, or Spurs this year. But I think they can certainly compete with everyone else, and we've seen a lot of that the last three games against the Thunder, the Blazers, and the Jazz, and Rockets won two of those games, and honestly, they should have won all three. They clearly look like the better team for all of those three games. Well, barring the final 6 minutes in Oklahoma City. But, you know, by and large, you can see the potential that this group has. And it's early, but to be 8-5 with a relatively tough schedule, especially so many games away from Toyota Center, it's hard not to be very encouraged about where this Rockets team is. Now, they have to continue it. They go to Detroit tomorrow night. They come back to Houston on Wednesday to play Toronto, and then they set out right after Thanksgiving for a 5-game West Coast road trip. So it's not going to get easy, but again, there's a lot of growing confidence in that Rockets locker room. They have really proven, not just to the league, but I think to themselves as well, of what their upside is. And so I think even though it's going to be a challenging road trip coming up, 6 of the next 7 on the road, it's coming at a good time because, again, there are a lot of quality vibes around this team right now. And it's hard not to be very encouraged by what you're seeing at this point in the year. So on that positive note, I will wrap up. Again, thanks so much to you guys for listening. I'm Ben Dubose of Sports Talk 790. You can follow me on Twitter at Ben Dubose, and please check out sports790.com tomorrow where you can see my new column about the rapid growth in Clint Capella's game over these last 2 or 3 weeks. This is Locked On Rockets. You can follow us on Twitter at Locked On Rockets. And you can always subscribe to us or leave ratings. I strongly encourage you to do that at iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Audio Boom, pretty much wherever you consume your podcast. You can easily find us. Just search Locked On Rockets. It's part of the Locked On Podcast Network, which includes daily podcasts for every NBA and NFL team. I strongly encourage you guys to check some of those out. If you haven't seen Locked On Texans, that's our sister podcast hosted by Robert Land, providing you with all sorts of daily insight into the Houston Texans. They've got a big game tomorrow night against the Oakland Raiders in Mexico City. It's actually going to be running concurrently with the Rockets-Pistons game, so I think it's going to be a big 2-TV night for me. But yeah, I definitely urge you to check out Robert's podcast. Got lots of great insight on the Texans, just as you hopefully find here. And again, always remember that you can email me at lockdownrockets@gmail.com if you've got questions or if you would like to inquire about becoming a sponsor of this rapidly growing podcast. Again, I'm Ben Dubose. Thanks so much for listening. Happy final from Toyota Center on Saturday. Rockets 111, Jazz 102. Rockets back in action Monday night against the Pistons in Detroit, and I will be chatting with you guys then. Have a great start to your week.